Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5 will be our scripture reading this morning. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills the quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
Good morning. It is indeed good to see you this morning. We have several guests with us. We're thankful you're here this morning. Thank you for your presence. You've encouraged us just by being here today. And we hope we've been an encouragement to you. It is it's hard to get up and follow a prayer like that when Alan prays from the heart. From those who do not know, Alan's daughter Mabry is fighting cancer at St. Jude. And that explains a lot of the emotions. And I share with you this morning that we have another child from a family that is made up of brothers and sisters in Christ who is this week on their way to St. Jude. Chandler Howard will be coming for treatment. He has been diagnosed in the last week with cancer as well. And at my count, that makes five that we know of that are going through treatment with St. Jude. And certainly we pray we find a cure for this dreaded disease. And we think about Christian Shadburn, who's fighting cancer. Got good news this week. Anna's here. It's good to see her. And we beg your prayers on his behalf as well as time goes on. So good to see you this morning. Thank you again for being here. Let me explain something that you may not know. Several of us, including myself, have somewhere to be at 3 o'clock today that's about 3 hours away. Which means we're not being rude when we run out of here as soon as the amen is said today. We just have a prior engagement, and we pray that you will be, you'll keep us in our prayers. A safe trip today, but our kids will be away from us for a week, so we would be thankful for your prayers on their behalf as well. Also, let me say before we get into our lesson this morning that if you weren't here at 9 o'clock, you missed a terrific lesson. And for those who are here, you know what I'm talking about, that Adam made the gospel story about as simple as you can make it. And his approach and his vision in the area of evangelism makes me grateful that we are fellow workers every day. I'm so grateful that the elders asked him to come and work with us. And I was just couldn't help but thinking, look at that lesson and how simple it was. I told him I was a little jealous. I hadn't thought of that first. And but how easily he did that. And just thought, that is why we needed Adam Shanks at East Shelby. And so grateful that he's here. And encourage you, again, if you've not heard that, go online and listen to it. Make sure you look at the PowerPoint while you're listening to it. It'll make a lot more sense that way. Or pick up one of the bookmarks. And also, just let me say this, a word of encouragement. If you weren't here, that's why you should be. Because you missed some terrific things when you're not here with us for the entire time together. Well, today is Father's Day. I thought I'd share with you what I got. At least one of the things I got. Of course, it's orange. You would see that. But it says on it, World's Greatest Dad Since 1999. I think the previous record holder for this was Dennis Ford, but I have supplanted him. Since 1999, I have been the world's greatest dad, according to a T-shirt, for what that's worth. Can I tell you that most days this T-shirt does not reflect how I feel? I don't know if dads are like that, but sometimes I look around at my kids and what I see is that I'm not that good of a dad at all. Because I see them do things that reminds me of me. And not in a good way. It's interesting how your kids can magnify your faults. There are times when I have to correct my children and they walk away and then I have to remind myself to correct myself because what they're doing is they are rewinding and repeating what I do all the time. So that's the problem sometimes. I have to tell you that parenting is the hardest job I have ever had. And I've had a lot of jobs. Mowing yards, washing dishes, welding, right? Scooping ice cream, delivering pizzas. But the hardest job I've ever had is being a parent. As we continue in our series on the home, I want to talk to parents today. Not just fathers, parents today and ask the question, are you honorable? That's based on Ephesians chapter 6. Turn over there real quick. Ephesians chapter 6 in verses 1 through 3. I want to remind you what Paul wrote there. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. We are not looking at this passage this morning and applying it to children. And all these guys up here went, that's all right. We'll do that in a couple of weeks. It's coming. But when I read that passage, I think there's something else in there that we often overlook, and that is this. If I want my kids to honor me as a parent, that means I need to be honorable. And how do I do that? What does it mean to be an honorable parent? To be a successful parent? I guess I should begin by telling you what it is not. If I were to go around the room and say, what do you think would make you an honorable parent or a successful parent? What do you think the answer would be? The number one answer would be, it would probably be something similar to what Alan said in his prayer towards the end. As fathers and parents, help us to teach our children and lead them in such a way that they serve God. In fact, if I was to ask you and to say, what makes a parent a great parent? You might say, well, if their children are disciples and they're serving God, they're obviously a fantastic parent. And they probably were a great parent. But I got to tell you, that doesn't mean they're an honorable parent. In fact, I don't think that is the biggest point maybe we should understand. I understand, by the way, that Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, if you train up a child in the way he should go, that when he's old, he will not depart from it. That is not an absolute statement, though. And let me illustrate it this way. Maybe you've not thought about these people. Just think about some of these parents. Were they honorable or not honorable? One that's not in your bulletin, by the way. This is a bonus. What about Adam and Eve? Were they honorable parents or not honorable parents? Think about it. They raised the Cain, yes, the first murderer, but they also raised Abel. And they raised Seth. And if you were just to take those three, they had more children than that. They were two-thirds successful, I guess you would say, according to our definition. Or how about Eli? What about Eli? Is he honorable or is he not honorable? Well, I know Eli's two sons were reprobates. They were not good guys. I'm aware of that. But I think we should also think in relation to that, that they were reprobates and that Eli was kind of chastised for that. But then if you think about Eli, think about next Samuel. What about Samuel? Was Samuel a good parent? You might go, well, obviously, we've never heard anything negative about Samuel. But notice what 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 3 say. When Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his first son was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in the ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Now we look at Eli and we go, look, well, Eli's sons were failures. Therefore, obviously, Eli was a failure as a parent. And we look at Samuel, and we look at Samuel as always a good light. He was a prophet of God. He was a judge. He was this fantastic person. And yet his sons turned out just as bad as Eli's. Was he honorable or not? What about David? A man after God's own heart. And I understand what he did in 2 Samuel 12. I get it. But I got to tell you, the reality is, despite what he did, he is still always looked upon favorably in Scripture. He is always a man after God's own heart. But what about his kids? Have you thought about that? Think about Amnon and what he did to his half-sister. Not a good story. Or how about Absalom, who tried to steal the kingdom from his father? Or how about Adonijah, who tried to steal the kingdom from his brother Solomon? Was David an honorable parent or not? Well, I tell you where it gets really interesting is you compare him to Saul. Because Saul was one of the lousiest kings there was. And yet somehow Saul was able to raise a Jonathan. A valiant warrior who trusted God. And who even when he was told he wouldn't sit on the throne but his friend David was, he never attacked David. He never had any slander, any malice towards David. He supported God. Was Saul honorable or not? How about King Ahaz? His story is in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. A wicked king that did not follow God, who raised Hezekiah, who restored worship to a nation. Was Ahaz an honorable parent? Or how about Hezekiah, who then turn raises Manasseh, who is one of the most evil kings, and even though he repented at the end, he was one of the most evil kings. He even sacrificed children. Was Hezekiah an honorable parent or not? Maybe a better question is, what about God? God is our Father. And so the question is, if God is our Father, and yet we know, and even Jesus admitted, that few find the way that leads to life in Matthew 7. Here's a question for you. Is God an honorable parent if the majority of creation isn't going to serve Him? Is He an honorable Father or not? What's my point? Before we go any further, my point is this. Your children and what they choose to do is not the proof of whether or not you are honorable as a parent. You know why that is? Is there are some kids that are good kids despite their parents. There are some very faithful and good people who were raised by awful parents and yet still serve God. Their parents aren't honorable. And at the same time, there are some terrific and amazing honorable parents who have raised children who for some reason leave home and decide to be reprobates. That doesn't mean the parents aren't honorable. I want you to know this morning that what your children do when they leave home and they're allowed to make their own choices is not the determination about whether or not you yourself are honorable, because your children can choose to respond to truth any way they want to, just like you can. And it's important for us to understand that whether we're honorable or not is not determined by the actions of our kids. But instead, this morning, what I want us to understand in the little bit of time we have left is what honorable parents do. In other words, not everything that would keep us here for hours. Not an exhaustive list, just some simple things. And I want you to turn to Psalm 127. That'll be the majority of our text this morning together. Just some simple things. The first thing is, honorable parents are partners with the Lord. They understand they are in a partnership in their home with God. Look at verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Notice what it says. Unless the Lord builds the house, you who labor it, build it in vain. Parents, here's what He's saying. You can do all you want to do on your home and with your children, but if you don't make God a partner in that, it will always fail. All of your work is worthless. It's empty. It has no value unless you let God be your partner. In other words, stop going to Barnes & Noble and going to the family section to learn how to raise your kid and open up the book. And let God tell you. Stop listening to Dr. Spock and all those experts, and take a step back and read the Bible. Read through Proverbs. Read the Psalms that talk about parenting. Read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Read the passages that tell us how to be good parents. You know what this passage is saying? Is you work all day, and you work all night, and you can stay up late at night and working and laboring to raise your kids and put every ounce of energy and time you have into your children. But if you don't let the Lord take the lead, it means nothing. That's what it's saying. Now here's what that really means. Let's break this down a little bit more for you. When we talk about the Lord being in a partnership, here's some things it means. It means that God gets to be the ruler of the house. Wait a minute. I thought you've been saying for the last couple of lessons that the man is the ruler of the house. Yes, the man is the leader of the house, but ultimately, God is the ruler of the house. We are the head of the house, but that headship is rooted in the rule and authority of God. We don't normally think about Matthew 6:33 here, but it applies. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, what do you worry about in your home? You worry about whether your kids have clothing? You worry about whether your kids have what they need? Well, seek God first and His righteousness in your home. That'll take care of itself. That's what the passage says. By the way, the kingdom of God there in Matthew 6:33 is not the church. It's the authority and rulership of God in your life. Don't misunderstand that word kingdom. Dads, we have to put God first. But then secondly, we have to focus on our mate more than our kids. Let me tell you what happens sometimes in homes today. Johnny and Susie are married and they can't stand one another. And so they decide it's either divorce or parenthood. And they think for some reason if they add kids to their relationship that is already bad, that it will make it better. Wrong. You know what happens? They have kids. Johnny and Susie get distracted with the kids. They don't put each other first, and as soon as that last child leaves home, their marriage falls apart. Why? Because they didn't fix the marriage first. Go all the way back to Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Before you can be honorable parents, you have to be one flesh. You have to be in that cohesive unit. Understand this. Your marriage is more important than parenthood. Pleasing God by being the right husband or the right wife in your home is more important to God than you raising your children. And here's why. Where will your children learn about Christ and His love for the church? In your home, because you both fill the roles we've been talking about earlier, that the man loves the wife like Christ loved the church, and the wife submits to the headship of her husband like she submits to Christ. Our children should learn about Christ's love for us and our response to Him by watching their parents. And that's why you've got to focus on your mate first. Look, the reality is, all three of my kids had better know this. Their mom is more important to me than they are. And that's a reality. We don't always do a good job of showing that. It also means that the Word of God is provided daily. There's a steady diet of God's Word. You go back to Ephesians chapter 6, we read the first three verses. What does verse 4 say? Verse 4 says, "Their fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Fathers, the command to bring up children and the discipline and instruction of the Lord is given to us. It is not given to elders. It is not given to preachers. It is not given to teachers at Sunday school. It is not given to wives. In fact, this is in the context we notice it said, children to honor their parents. And you know what Paul in essence is saying? You want to be honorable? Fathers, teach your children. Period. Men, it's our job to stand up and to lead our families in the Lord. And we spend much of our time emphasizing all the wrong things. We want to teach our sons how to throw the perfect curveball and how to throw the perfect spiral and our daughters how to play piano and violin and all of these other things. And we stay up in long, sleepless nights creating solar systems out of styrofoam balls for science projects we don't care about, or maybe making sure their research paper gets turned in on time, or studying for a test. And sometimes we do all of that and we can't even get them to Bible class, let alone teach them at home. We are emphasizing the wrong things. If your child grows up and goes to Harvard and becomes a doctor and becomes a Nobel Peace Prize winner but doesn't make it to heaven, then their life is not successful. It is our job. That doesn't mean, by the way, if they do that and you've taught them that you're not honorable. But what it means is, if I want to be honorable, I've got to teach them the things of God. It's my responsibility. And I can't blame that on anybody else. And when I go before the Lord on the judgment day and He goes, "Terry, why didn't you teach your kids?" I can't say, "Well, the wife you gave me," like Adam did. I can't say, well, the church, I took them to church, it's their fault. No, the command is to fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but you raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, the reality is, it's in the Lord. How do I know what discipline and training and teaching it is? It's His teaching I'm sharing with them. It's a partnership. We've got to understand we are in this partnership. Secondly, honorable parents are parents. Well, they're parents that see children as a gift from God. Jake read for us in verses 3 through 5. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. I have to tell you, full confession, there are some days I don't view my kids as a gift. And you may chuckle, but you've been there too. And I have viewed them, I guess, as a gift because I'm willing to give them to any of you that want them. I will re-gift my children some days. Some days. Keep it up, today's that day. Okay? I'm just saying. What I want you to notice is what it says there in verse 5. Blessed or happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. And the idea that we are happy. Children are a gift that is a source of happiness. Now, here's something I think that this means. I've got to start seeing my children as my gift of happiness. Which means I need to stop looking at other people's children. I'm just going to say this here. Parents, can we stop competing? Can we agree this morning to stop competing? What do you mean by that? Well, I am, if you don't know this already, I am the most competitive person in this room. If you don't believe that, ask people who spend a lot of time with me. My wife will not play cards against me. We come to your house and you want to play spades. By the way, never play spades with the mohair. They cheat. They don't even play the real game. But if you come and you say, well, let's play cards, my wife will say, I will only play on his team. She will say that. I am so competitive, and she didn't like me talking about her, but when Cindy had her knee replacement, she came in one day and said, see how fast I can walk, let's race. I thought she was going to beat me. I literally threw my arm up in front of her to stop her. I'm competitive. You know that's not good for parents? Because I sit up in the stands and I see some other kid playing better than Peyton. I go, why can't Peyton play better football than that? What's his problem? Or you go to the soccer field and some kid's playing better. Why? Jillian's better than that. Why did he start her there? She should have been there. And all this competing. Or maybe I look at him sometimes and go, why does Jameson have to be that way? Why can't she act like some other kid? Why can't she be good? Like, well, I have the greatest kids here. I can't see anybody else here. The reality is we compete in everything. We compete in grades. We compete in sports. We compete in our homes. Your children are your gift. Focus on them and nobody else. And quit competing. And we do this in everything. If you've never heard two moms argue about which way is better to educate their kids, that's competition. We've got to stop that. We have a gift from God that we have been entrusted with, that is our heritage. That He says, when you take your time and you treat them honorably, they provide you happiness you can't get any way else. Enjoy that gift. And the honorable thing to do is to see that as a gift from God. And instead of being frustrated that they're not starting, be glad that they're still playing. Instead of being mad that they didn't get an A, be glad that they did their best. See them as a gift to God. Honorable parents, they parent together as well. Genesis 2:24, we go back to that one flesh concept. Here's what doesn't make sense to me. Why is it we see in Genesis 2:24 that a father and a mother come together, or a man and wife come together, they're joined together, they're one flesh, and then we have kids and we say things like, you leave us alone, I'll raise the kids. I thought we were one flesh. Or we say things like, well, they're not my kids, they're your kids when they act that way. I thought we were one flesh. We look at Ephesians 6:4 and the wife may say, well, listen here, that's the dads. I don't have to do that. I have no responsibility in raising our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Or the father who hands over his kids to his wife because, quite frankly, he just doesn't want to do it. Please understand something. If it is our job in the home to show the relationship of Christ and the church to our kids, and the relationship of Christ and the church is that we are one body with Him, then you've got to do that as a parent. And you have to parent together because you're not two people. You are one single unit. In other words, there has to be respect for the organization and order of the home God's laid out. The husband has to step up and be the head of his family. And he has to not just lead them, but he has to lead them to God. And the wife has to be a supporter, a helper in that, who follows the lead instead of fighting it. You know, sometimes that's real difficult. Because little Sally comes bounding down the stairs and something that dad goes, you ain't going out of the house in that. And mom says, well, why not? That's not parenting together. See, sometimes we think we're doing it, but we're not. We need to be one single unit. Before we close, let me take just a few minutes to say something to single parents, because we have single parents here, and I know, I am aware that lessons like this can be difficult because you hear the two-parent traditional model of the home, and you sit back and feel like either A, you're invisible, or B, everybody's staring at you because you don't fit the model. So let me say this. Do not feel that way this morning, please. Let me say, for whatever circumstances you are in, because of that have placed you into this role as a single parent, I am deeply sorry, whether that's the death of a spouse or some treachery of a spouse, whatever it is, I'm sorry for that pain. But let me say this about parenting and honorable parenting from your perspective. You, as a single parent, can still show the love that Christ has for His church without having to be married. And I don't want you to misunderstand that. In your current situation, you can be an honorable parent. Don't let this lesson imply that you cannot. There are a lot of parallels between what we've said and the points we've made to single parents, but there are also some significant differences. Those differences do not make you a second-class parent, nor do they make you inferior. Here's what you do. I don't have time to go so far in depth. I will tell you this. On July 19th, one of the lessons in this series is to non-traditional homes. That will include singles and blended families and those type things. But here's what you can do. You can pursue Christ in a way that your children can clearly see it. In Ephesians 5 and verse 2, Paul wrote, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You, as a parent, by yourself can demonstrate Christ to your children every day by showing them that same pattern of love and leadership that He has shown us. And you can do that whether you're male or female, a father or a mother, you can do that. And a word to the rest of us, I think Galatians 6:2 applies here. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When it comes to our single parents, can I say this? They don't need pity, and they don't need our advice, and they don't need unwanted guidance. They need prayers and fellowship and love and support, and that when they need us and they ask, we can help them. And I will say to the single parents, we want to be that for you. We want to be your family. We pray for you. We love you. And more importantly, we want to honor you in a way that shows the desire to your children of this unity that Christ and the church have through even our relationship with you. not always mindful of that, but I wanted to make sure we covered that this morning before we ended for those people. Again, July 19th, we'll talk about that more. We're out of time, and let me say this about parents. Ultimately, here is the key to us as parents, that honorable parents help children understand Christ's love for us. Our children have the option to throw that away. And they have the option to completely reject that, but it is our responsibility to model that in our partnership with God in the home. Maybe you're here, and as a child of your parents, you have rejected that kind of an upbringing. More importantly, as a child of the Heavenly Father, you have rejected His love for you and His honor that He has shown upon you by sending His Son, and you've never obeyed the gospel. But you know that you need to this morning. Why not do that today? Why not today? Not because it's Father's Day, because it's the Lord's Day. What better way than to spend the Lord's Day today than to dedicate your life to the Lord and submit to Him through your obedience and being baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and raising up a new creature? If you've not done that, why not do that? Why not do it right now? Why not come while we stand and while we sing this song?